Do you know what a troll is? Troll, T-R-O-L-L, do you? A troll, I am told, is someone who deliberately kindles acrimony by making outrageous, offensive, or confusing remarks. Troll is a noun, but is often used as a verb, as in one Donald John Trump spending the past year and a half trolling the news media. Has he ever? He has really been making outrageous, even offensive, and often confusing remarks. Many think he's doing that deliberately to agitate the media. Interestingly, few journalists have appreciated the degree to which Trump uses trolling as a methodology for his political and governing strategies. The press, the liberal, progressive press, in all of their infinite wisdom, have simply assumed that the Trump style for exaggeration and invention was the result of psychosis, or at the very least, an out-of-control ego. The press has yet to realize that Trump engages in trolling intentionally and strategically. He really does. And so the press goes on its merry way, criticizing, lambasting, and ridiculing President Trump, when in the words of author Barton Swaim, the president pursues a canny strategy of sending journalists on wild goose fact checks. Wild goose fact checks. Isn't that interesting? While these apoplectic journalists chase down the facts behind Trump's often outrageous statements, the president is on his merry way making real decisions, working with known facts, with the biased media out of the way. Trolling for Trump is a brilliant strategy for Trump, knowing that the media would interpret everything he does in the worst possible way, would outsmart them. Outsmart them at their very own game. President Donald John Trump has done that. And he's becoming a master at trolling. And more strategy for Mr. Trump. He communicated with the public as citizen by Twitter. As president, Trump now both trolls and tweets. Isn't that interesting? Rather than face a hostile, biased media with rigged questions at press conferences, Trump simply speaks his mind and deals with many issues by means of Twitter. The trolling and the tweeting drive the media, the academic elites, and Hollywood, and of course the Democrats, it drives them crazy. None of these elites, these know-it-alls, can get a handle on this president. It's chaos around him, but it's deliberate chaos, so said Steve Schmidt, a Republican political strategist who worked in the George W. Bush White House. Deliberate chaos around Donald Trump. That is, Trump surrounds himself with brilliant minds who often disagree with each other and just as often disagree with Trump himself. There is constructive argumentation, differing points of view, colliding, and producing a multifaceted creativity, a creative chaos, a deliberate chaos which Trump intentionally fosters. Says Schmidt, it's the type of chaos, deliberate chaos, that preserves maximum control for him. He makes the call. President Trump has assembled a cabinet that defies convention. There has really never been any other cabinet of any other president with so much disagreement. And Trump really does listen. He really does. And before he makes his decision, which he does, he may be one of the best informed presidents America has ever had. Right or wrong, the decisions Trump is making are well-informed. Most Americans, and certainly the media, do not really believe that. And said Trump of any wrong calls or decisions which he may make, you may make wrong calls. But they have to be wrong so that they don't have huge impact. And they have to be wrong so that you can adjust and correct. Sounds strategic to me. That indicates an open White House policy, and variety, and diversity, and perhaps a transparency of which America has seen virtually none in the last 8 years. No matter, the elites wail and moan. They go about the business of fostering overreaction, extreme emotionalism which allows them to create their safe spaces for the faint at heart, their crying rooms, their outlet for primal screams, and of course psychological counseling to prepare them for the fascism of Trump yet to come. Fascism? And women march because they are certain that their alleged rights will be taken away, even though Trump has only just begun. He hasn't done anything yet of any consequence. George Soros-funded protests. George Soros, one of the most evil men in the world. He funded protests and, of course, vandalism and radical progressive Democrat reactions litter our cities and our highways because of Soros. No matter that they have little fact or action to judge the man, they despise him as a person, and that's enough. As the Wall Street Journal said, the public dislikes his temperament, that is Trump, but it still believes he can deliver policy success. Boy, I hope so, because I really think he can. But on the left, they dislike him and will do everything possible to make certain he will not deliver what he has promised. Boy, are they ever ramped up to accomplish that. It is interesting indeed that a public figure, a major basketball star like Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, though not a Trump voter or supporter, is in fact a true American, and he tires of all such negativity, as so many of us do. Shaq O'Neal said the following, Trump promised a lot of people a lot of things. He sure did. Now that he's president, you just hope that he can make the world a better place. Yes, we all do, Shaq. Trump won fair and square. Yes, he did. And we have to give him a chance. We have to give him a chance. Well said, Mr. O'Neill, but I doubt that those who didn't support or vote for Trump will agree with you. That well-stated expression of hope from Shaquille O'Neal will fall on Democrat deaf ears. It definitely will. The unprecedented opposition goes on and on. And gets more vituperative every day. But Trump really is serious about shaking up government, that is, draining the swamp. Amen to that. The size, the scope, the influence and control of our federal government is absolutely out of hand in every way. Trump has pledged to reduce it, and he will. And that will mean that Donald John Trump will face a more hostile resistance, an aggressive, angry resistance in the press, and, of course, hostility and hatred from the permanent bureaucracy in Washington. That's already happening. And so the opposition continues its rant against Trump, calling him fascist, racist, homophobe, and so much more. Listen to this one, a gang of billionaires. Well, they're really getting creative in their anger, aren't they? In fact, they call Mr. Trump the illegitimate president. The illegitimate president, no matter that he won fair and square, as Shaq O'Neal has said. And they do that without, of course, defining what that means. They quote their very own polls as showing that a majority of Americans have negative reactions to Mr. Trump, perhaps with respect to his personality and his character, but not with his presidential performance, because that has only just begun. But if Trump eases the burden of regulation, reforms the tax code, unlocks the energy resources and productivity in America, and returns our economic markets to robust growth, and returns the private markets to health insurance, a new energy, a positive mentality will sweep America. I think it's already just begun. And that alone is how we should judge President Donald John Trump. And so, on we should go with the brand new White House. Presidential management by chaos, deliberate chaos. I think it'll work. In fact, it may be possible that the Trump election may herald a brand new political order. Wouldn't that be something? And that may well be possible as a result of the so-called illegitimate president, who is determined to do things different and better. The Democrats continue to rage and rant that the Trump presidency is illegitimate because Hillary Clinton won the popular vote in the presidential election by some 2.5 or more million votes. But, says John Steele Gordon, Clinton won only in coastal cities and academic enclaves and very poor areas such as the Mississippi Delta and the Alabama Black Belt. If, says Gordon, if you subtract Clinton's margins in a mere five counties, the New York City boroughs, other than Staten Island, that's four of them, and Los Angeles County, that's the fifth, Clinton lost the popular vote in the remainder of the country, less those five counties, by more than 500,000 votes. Isn't that interesting? Four New York City boroughs and the county of Los Angeles, just those five counties, provided the popular vote margin. all the rest of this country, the rest of us, voted in the majority for Trump. Gordon goes on to say that the Obama years showed liberalism to be exhausted, its ideas out of date, and its advocates living in an imagined past, an imagined past. Gordon further states that the Democratic Party has never been so weak or so old. The top three Democrats in the House are all at least 76, while the average of their GOP counterparts is 49. 76 versus 49. New blood and fresh thinking are taking place in the Republican Party. And that new blood and fresh thinking are required for the Democrats, says Gordon, if they are in fact to rebuild their party as they should. The promises, the pledges of politicians are so much lie and spin. Haven't we had enough of that in the last 8 years? So Trump reminded us in his inauguration address, remember those things I said in the campaign? I meant them. I meant them all. I meant them all. And Trump promises all Americans, January 20, already here and gone, will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. Really? Oh, I hope and pray that's the case. This is our country. We need to take it back. So may it be so, Mr. Trump. May it be so. Live up to those promises. And so, as Peggy Noonan of the Wall Street Journal says, we have never had a political moment like this, and we have never had a president like this. A norm breaker, unconventional, unconventional to the core, and willing to lead us into uncharted political waters. If it drains the swamp in Washington, if it makes America great again, then I say, bring it on, Mr. Trump, bring it on. America first sounds good to me. Multiple national polls have revealed that American optimism and good feeling is on a market upswing as the great year 2017 unfolds. So many voters, so many Americans have begun to feel hopeful again, beginning to believe that Trump may actually do what he has promised to do. He will work, he says, not only with American business, but with unions as well. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Some real, clear, transparent, honest dialogue between business and union? That would be fantastic. And Trump will work for the American worker, union or not. That's another good thing. Trump will work in education to end bias and prejudice and to lessen or eliminate the control and overt influence of radical educators. Trump will modify but not repeal Obamacare and make it what it should be, so he says. American energy will flow. Boy, that would be great. America. America First will stand tall in the world and once again become a leader, the leader. Our national defense, our military will be strengthened. And our enemies, especially terrorists the world over, will themselves live in terror of an America determined to do things right. If so, small wonder that America now enters a new era of hope. And perhaps that is the beginning of a new political order. The ending of the aggressive socialistic change brought on by the Obama administration would be so good for America. The return of respect and certain powers to the states, a real federalism. The Obama administration had little or no respect for the states. And most importantly, the return of real power where it belongs, as promised by the 9th and 10th Amendments to our Constitution, to the states and to we, the people, not the swamp in Washington. If so, Mr. Trump, if you do this, if indeed we return to a nation built upon and respectful of our beloved Constitution and the rule of law and the freedoms which our Constitution guarantees, I, for one, am all in. I'm all in. I will support you, but I will watch you. If you back down in the face of the angry criticism, which you will surely have perhaps all 4 years, I will not support you. You have become, President Trump, an expert in trolling. You have indeed. You do confuse. You say things that make other people angry. And if you do it deliberately, it's a brilliant strategy. And it may work well with the media and academia and Hollywood and other of your avowed enemies. It just might work. But good sir, Mr. President, it will not work with the American people, and it will not work with me. If you are firmly in control, then provide us with the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and stand tall behind it. That transparency, after Obama, is what America needs more than anything else. If, in fact, a new political order is coming, make it happen for the good of all Americans. Include everybody. Everybody. Do your very best to make us one nation again, indivisible, and under God. By the way, thank you for bringing God back into the inauguration. Thank you for that. And foster a new commonality in a new political order. We are so divided and so angry at each other. Find a way to get us back together again as indivisible Americans. Do please make it happen, Mr. Trump. Please make it happen. We the people are watching. We're watching.